The Bible passage today is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. It's here on our sheets. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
I don't know what sort of day it was. It might have been raining or cool, damp, overcast, but somehow I doubt it. More likely it was sunny, the morning heat building after a cool night. In many ways it was an ordinary day. Maybe a bank holiday, but otherwise nothing special. Above all, it was an unsuspecting day. People just had no inkling that morning that the day would turn out to be one of the great turning points in the history of the universe. It was the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the feast of Passover. Pentecost means 50th in Greek. It was 7 weeks after the death and resurrection of Jesus. It was a day that ushered in a new era, the closing era in God's plan for the world. A day when God's Holy Spirit was poured out irrevocably onto ordinary people. It was a miraculous day. And over the last 2 weeks, we've seen with Alfie in chapter 1 how before he ascended into heaven, Jesus promised his disciples that God's Holy Spirit would come upon them and empower them. And under the introduction in the handout here, we've got that verse from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That promise of Jesus is fulfilled, or at least the fulfillment began, this day at Pentecost. Let's look then at what the Spirit of God does. our first heading on the handout. And the first thing we notice is that the Spirit exudes power and might. In verse 2, as it was so ably read to us by Paul a few minutes ago, there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. We had some strong winds earlier this month with Storm Imogen, didn't we? But here we're talking about the force 12 hurricane type wind blowing inside the house. That's quite a sound if you think about that amount of noise. Scary, so loud that although it was inside, indoors, it was heard by thousands of people in the city. We read in verse 6 that at this sound the multitude came together. And the Spirit appeared as of fire in verse 3. And we note that it doesn't say that the Spirit was a mighty wind or was tongues of fire. He was like a mighty rushing wind, tongues as of fire. Best way that could be found to describe the Spirit. So the Spirit comes with power. And secondly, the Spirit prophesies through ordinary people. He gives them words and languages to speak, as we see in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues are recognisable human dialects or languages. It's been said that the difference between a language and a dialect is that a language is a dialect with an army and a navy. I don't know. But the key thing here is that this is a miraculous event. Ordinary people are caused to speak in clearly understood foreign languages. Verse 6, each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Verse 8, how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Verse 11, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues. We're not talking here about one or two variations of Greek or Aramaic. Look at the different peoples who heard in their own language in verses 9 to 11. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We're talking about just about the whole of the known world, the whole of the Roman Empire. Not only does the Spirit prophesy through people, he bewilders people. In verse 6, at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. And again in verse 7, and they were amazed and astonished. And in verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed. If you go to the European Union in Brussels, Parliament or the Commission, there'll be dozens of European countries represented, and their representatives speak dozens of languages. So Brussels has a formidable array of simultaneous translators. And if you attend a formal meeting and you've got your earphones on, you can hear the words of a foreign language speaker speaking a language you've never heard, translated into your own. Everybody hears in their own language, but they need earphones, and they don't hear the speaker speaking unless they listen in the speaker's language. They hear a translator. This is no miracle. This is just translation, and the whole arrangement is cumbersome, hugely expensive and clunky, but it's the best we can do. What we're talking about here on the day of Pentecost is in a completely different league. This is a miracle of speech. No wonder people were perplexed. How could this be? And for thoughtful Jews, there would be another reason to be astonished. If this was the Spirit of God speaking, why was it happening here? Why not in the temple, through the mouths of the priests? The temple was where God dwelt with his people, wasn't it? Surely that's where God's Spirit should have been. Not out here speaking through unauthorized, uneducated people. And so the Spirit is powerful. He prophesies, he astonishes people. But most important of all the various things that the Spirit does here is that the Spirit proclaims. He doesn't give people languages and tongues and words to say just to show off. He has important things to proclaim. Look at verse 11. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit proclaims the mighty works of God. That's what the Spirit does through the Old Testament prophets. That's what the Spirit did through the disciples at Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. As Luke tells us in his Gospel, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And here in verse 11, that through the 120 or so believers who are speaking in tongues here, the Spirit proclaims the mighty works of God. Pentecost, then, is about proclamation. It's about the Holy Spirit proclaiming the mighty works of God. What are these mighty works? Come back next week. But it's clear from Peter's sermon, which we'll come to shortly, that the mighty works of God are what God has done through Jesus. Jesus' life on earth, his signs, his teaching, and especially his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. So let's look at how the Holy Spirit explains all this then in verses 14 to 21, speaking through Peter. The second heading on our handout, and Peter's sermon, which begins here and goes on for most of this chapter, was the first Christian sermon after Jesus' ascension. So today I'm preaching to you a sermon about a sermon. And he starts in verse 14, Peter, standing with the 11. So there are 12 of them now. As Alfie explained to us last week, the 12th disciple has been elected. Peter lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." Listen up, everyone. You need to hear this. "For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." So Peter, in good humour, deals with the mockers. You always get mocking, don't you? Whenever the truth is proclaimed, you're going to get mockers. Kind of a form of persecution in a way, I suppose. So he says to the mockers, "Come on, you know these people aren't drunk. They've not been anywhere near the globe. And anyway, it's not open yet. And even Amber's been closed since last night. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, Peter goes on in verse 16. And in the rest of our passage, Peter quotes from the Old Testament prophet Joel. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." What you see this morning, says Peter, is just what the prophet Joel prophesied hundreds of years ago. And two things to note here, particularly. Verse 17 begins with Peter talking about the last days. This is a specific time period which began with Pentecost and still goes on today and will end on the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment hasn't come yet, but it is certain to come on a specific appointed day known only to God. On that day, Jesus will return in the same way he went into heaven, as we saw with Alfie in chapter 1. He will return as God's judge, and on that day, all people in history will face God's judge. So just as the event of Pentecost that we're looking at here was certain and specifically prophesied, but came on an unsuspecting day So the day of judgment, the final day of this world, is certain and specifically prophesied, but it will come on an unsuspecting day. And the time between Pentecost and that final day of judgment is known as the last days. Today, on the 17th of February 2016, we're living in the last days, as were the people in the book of Acts. And the other thing to note here is that God declares in verse 17 that his spirit will be poured out. The sense here is of a torrential downpour, as in a severe tropical storm. In the Old Testament, prophesying and dreaming dreams and seeing visions referred to special revelations from God. The Spirit rested on a prophet, following which that prophet would proclaim to the people his revelation from God. And such revelations didn't happen very often. Even with Abraham, they only came once every 20 years or so. But here at Pentecost, again, it's different. This is a pouring out. This process can't be reversed. It's a pouring out of the Spirit upon men and women, young and old, male and female, masters, mistresses, servants. Thus begins a new era, the final era of this world's existence, the last days. Now this is revolutionary. There's no more requirement for the temple. No more requirement for temple ritual and priests. They're all redundant now. And not only that, but all believers will prophesy. All flesh, it says in verse 17. Not just a few people, not just vicars and bishops. All believers will prophesy. And they prophesy when they interpret scriptural truth, when they speak God's word, proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Now all believers will have the Holy Spirit. There'll be Isaiah's, Elijah's, Joel's, whatever. And the Spirit will empower them to proclaim the mighty works of God. This is why Pentecost changed the world, because what God has done through Jesus will now be proclaimed by ordinary Christian believers throughout the world to every nation and tongue. And the world will be amazed by what God has done through Jesus. Next week, when we look at the rest of Peter's sermon, we'll read a textbook example of someone prophesying, someone declaring those mighty works. But the critical point about Pentecost is that now, in the last days, all believers will proclaim this. Young and old, male and female, boss and servant. This is what Moses longed for, way back at the beginning of the history of the Jews, in our verse from the book of Numbers at the bottom of the handout. You see Numbers 11:29, where Moses said, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Now, in the last days, this has come to pass. And this proclamation of God's mighty works through Jesus continues today, just as it began 2,000 years ago. It is just as vitally important for us as it was for people then. We, like them, are living in the last days, with the day of judgment ahead. So, I'm with my daughter one day, and someone attacks Jesus or is critical of the truth of the gospel. And while I'm fumbling, nervously trying to think up a possible reply, my daughter comes out loud and clear with a ringing declaration of the gospel. Bless her. And she comes out with it in words I wouldn't have thought of or perhaps been afraid to say. Have you ever had that sort of experience? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Should we believers expect to prophesy in the way the disciples did at Pentecost, to speak in other tongues or languages? Not necessarily. But we should expect to proclaim. That's what the last days are all about. Proclaiming to the ends of the earth what God has done through Jesus. So what's the significance of all this then? All this proclaiming? What's the point of it going to the ends of the earth? Why is it life-changing? verse 21. And if you take away nothing from today, except this, please take this away. Please remember this verse. It's really one to hang on to. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is why God did what he did through Jesus, so that people can be saved. And we shall see next week that when Peter says in verse 21 that he calls on the name of the Lord, Peter is speaking of Jesus. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. This is the message of Pentecost, and what a superb summary of the Christian gospel it is, isn't it? Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And this verse reminds us that there is something we need to be saved from: God's day of judgment, which we cannot survive alone. And it confirms that anyone can be saved, good or bad, whatever race, colour, ability, origin. How are they saved? By calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, by repenting and turning to Jesus and asking him to save them. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. So what are we to conclude then? If you're not a Christian, please don't ignore the warnings. There will be a day of judgment. It is prophesied, it is certain, and it will be an unsuspecting sort of day. None of us will be able to endure it alone. We all need a saviour, and Jesus is the only one there is. He's the saviour God has provided for us, and the one the Spirit points us to. Please consider carefully and call on the name of Jesus to save you. If you are a Christian, take huge comfort from the guarantee of verse 21. Through thick and thin, riches and poverty, health and sickness and dementia, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And proclaim. Christians are to do what the Spirit indicates in today's passage. We mustn't be afraid to tell people what God has done for us through Jesus. We haven't spent 3 years walking on earth with Jesus as the apostles did, so we can't speak firsthand like Peter did. We are those who believe through the word of the apostles, as reliably recorded for us in the book of Acts, in the Bible. We need to ask God for his Spirit to help us, to empower us, to give us confidence to witness to what we know from Scripture. It doesn't matter who we are, how old we are, whether we're male or female, boss or servant. We don't need training or a degree in theology. We don't need to know all the answers. All we have to do is to tell people what we know, that God sent Jesus to die on a cross for us, raised him to life, and made him Saviour and Lord of all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Please guide us through your Spirit to walk with you and to proclaim boldly what we know you have done through the Lord Jesus. Amen.